Thank you so much, Professor McAfee. So that was some awesome career advice. I'm just going to be telling myself all the time, don't be a hippo. Don't be a hippo, right? I'm sure you guys all agree. So you just heard about the transformative power of today's technologies, and now you're going to learn how your peers are embracing the opportunities afforded by digital technology to successfully transform their organizations. Please welcome Microsoft Corporate Vice President Julia White.
Thanks. Well, good morning. It's fantastic to follow Andrew. I actually just realized that he was my professor when I was at HBS. So I just made a conversation back there. So very small world. But first of all, thank you so much for joining for this event. It's fantastic to have you here. I think we have a great lineup and hopefully really time for you can step out and really think and contemplate and kind of taking some new perspectives and adjust. And I think that's what these kind of events are really fantastic for. So I encourage you to make the most of it and take advantage of all the resources we have laid out. So obviously been in technology for a very long time, actually before business school with Andy and others, started actually my career in the very first of online banking. And I started when I began, people were like, "You're never going to bank on the internet. That's absurd. It was unsafe. It was insecure." And about, I want to say, 18 months after those statements were said by the leadership, the world was thinking that not banking on the internet was crazy. Like, who would do that? And so this interesting shift very early, though this is a while ago, of how fast these type of things move, kind of in a front row seat to that experience. And then when I came to Microsoft, I had the opportunity to start from the very beginning of Office 365. When I remember the day we took Exchange and put the very first mailbox in the cloud, and we really weren't sure what was going to happen and how to put a commercial business model around this enterprise cloud service. And we made a lot of mistakes, and we learned, and we adapted. And then, you know, we're now just 8 years on now, we now have what is Office 365, the world's largest commercial SaaS system on the planet. And so kind of an incredible ride in that front. And again, just to think back of where we started from and what was happening in the, I'm like, 8 years ago, my conversations with anyone who sat in the IT organization was like, no way, can't use your cloud service for my email system. No way, security, compliance, performance, lots and lots of reasons why that just fundamentally wasn't possible. And now we look back and think, God, it's inevitable. It's of course you're going to go that way. So just interesting opportunities I've had in that front. Now responsible for Azure, so moved over on from our cloud platform. So now picking on more of the infrastructure and core mission critical application side of things. But very similar journey I'm seeing on that side. But let's transition to what's happening in the broader sense of the world. And Andy certainly hit on a bunch of this idea. But fundamentally, I like to kind of talk about it as the fourth industrial revolution. And you think about, gosh, all this change is happening, the cloud first, mobile first world that we're in right now, and how much change is happening. It is a lot. It's absolutely happening at an accelerated pace. But if you look back and put it in historical context, it makes sense. If you think about the kind of with the invention of the steam engine and the fundamental overhaul and revolution of transport in that period of time and how much change happened in an accelerated period of time around that innovation. Then turn to electricity, of course. In the early days of electricity, everyone had their own water wheel to power things. And then, of course, advanced into a global network system. And then really where Microsoft got its start, right, with the IT electronic revolution in terms of, you know, our mission that we started with 40 years ago of put a PC on every desk. And that was really grounded in that piece of it. So now as we are sitting in the smack in the middle, and I guess maybe a little bit in the early stages of the digital revolution, where fundamentally every organization is going to be centered around what's digitally possible. And that whether you're starting there or that's a transformation underway is very much the heart of where we are. And if I go back and think about the change that's happening right now with that digital revolution, to me it is most akin to the electrical. As you think, again, back in the electricity first started, you had each farm had its own small production of electricity to maintain things, or each manufacturing plant had a small electrical generation system. But then over time, we realized that this centralized system, kind of a natural monopoly system, made sense. And it had that economies of scale and capabilities and reliability you could get at a global way. And of course, there's lots of disruption in this moment. Imagine the candle manufacturers before electricity. They went from being mission critical to being novelties, and what that adjustment needed for them to make. And then going from having small electricity to plugging into a massive national system, and the changes that happened with that. And I think about Today, we all have our own data centers, and we're doing things independently versus tapping into what over time is this massive cloud and mobile network that we can all take advantage of and innovate in the same way. So to me, it's kind of akin to the very lasting, substantial change that's happening in this area. And so to me, it's not surprising, but I always put some stats of at a CEO level, not a CIO, not an IT level, what's fundamentally kind of top of mind and the top priorities of a whole set of macro and economic issues that are happening. And to see technological advances, to me, says we're all, this is true, this is happening across all organizations. And we recently had the CEO of GE come on and talk with Satya Nadella, our CEO, about what's happening at GE. And he described the company of GE, obviously long, manufacturing lots of different parts of their organization. He described them as a digital company. To me, I thought that was so interesting that an organization of that history, that legacy, that diversity would be self-described as a digital organization. To me, is exactly represents this, that that's what's happening even across all different kinds of organizations. And it's true of all industries as well. I think about what's happening across, you know, public sector. We're doing a lot of work with police systems of having real-time body cameras or even IoT weapons. So when you pull your gun out of your holster, there's notifications so everything can be tracked. Fundamentally change in how we can do safety and law enforcement around the globe. Or I think about in healthcare, in terms of doing remote healthcare. You know, and actually Andy talked about some incredible systems of that mobile app that can actually detect skin cancer faster than the doctors. Incredible fundamental changes of how we can provide healthcare to remote and distant workers, as well as empower all of us to be more health-centric citizens, which ultimately bring all of our healthcare costs down, but also make us healthier. I was actually just recently in Washington, D.C., talking to an organization that works on MRI imaging, and they've been able to use cloud analytics to be able to get any noise out of an MRI system. And so now when little kids, poor little kids, have to take these MRIs, even if they wiggle, they don't have to redo it, saving them hours and just discomfort for the patient. So all kinds of benefits in these areas. So that's what's happening across different industries around this digital transformation, this digital industrial moment. So what's Microsoft's role in this, and how can we help all of you? So finally, just stepping back for a second around Microsoft's mission. And I love what Andy said of, you know, bold missions are what he looks for. I think this is pretty darn bold in terms of empowering every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Now, I think I mentioned our prior mission, which was around putting a PC on every desk in every home. Super bold back in the days, now seems kind of trivial. But equally in sense of that went from a technology-centric mission, which was super important, and ultimately translated into human empowerment, to now being very front and center that our mission is about you, empowering you through technology. And it's not for technology for technology's sake, but how do we achieve empowerment for all and across the way? Now, we do a lot of things at Microsoft, and so we think about against our mission, how do we take all of our billions of dollars in R&D investment and couple them together? And we have three core ambitions that bring it all together for us. The first is around creating more personal computing. Things like Windows 10, Cortana, HoloLens, augmented reality, Xbox, all those capabilities in that area, really about creating that personal experience. Again, about you, about putting the people at the center. Then around reinventing productivity and business processes. And not too many years ago, personal productivity and business processes are separate islands. They don't interact. We have to do a lot of human management between those seams. We see those things rapidly coming together. So the structured and unstructured work, the work processes and the ad hoc processes don't have to be siloed digital experiences, but really integrated and fluid, just like human beings work. And we're uniquely positioned to have leadership in both of those categories, and so have the opportunity and the responsibility to help bring those together in a new way. And then last, but certainly not least, around building the intelligent cloud platform. And I highlight the word intelligent because it's one thing to have a cloud platform and to have a lot of compute in the cloud that's cheap and easy. It's different to have an intelligent one that actually adds value, developer efficiencies, new business processes, new capabilities on top of it. And that's our view of what the future looks like. And these are our ambitions. These are how we think about our R&D investments, how we evaluate ourselves, how we report to financial analysts about our performance. So it really goes to the core of how we run the organization. That's great for Microsoft, but ultimately it's about you and about what's happening in this digital transformation. And as you go and talk to many, many, many customers around the globe about this digital transformation, we found they kind of cohere into four types. And most organizations are doing something across all of these, but they kind of take these four category shapes. First is around fundamentally changing customer engagement. Everyone has a phone in their pocket, and so fundamentally any customer can have your customer company experience in their pocket. How can we do things differently? How can we add value versus just react? A bunch of new capabilities in that area. Empowering employees. And that means full-time employees, that means people across the globe, and we know increasingly organizations are not full-time employee bound. There's increasing number of contractors and vendors in the gig economy. And so thinking about employees in a broad sense, not just in the work at headquarters directly for you empowerment. Fundamentally optimizing operations. I think we know this well, but we can do things in just a different way in terms of thinking more deeply around, again, like thinking about business processes and productivity. How do we imagine, we only envision a world where those things sit separately versus having them cohere together. And then last but certainly not least, and some of the most amazing stories to me around fundamentally transforming product. And I actually put Microsoft in that camp. And when I started at Microsoft 16 years ago, we were shipping servers and we're shipping boxes of Office. And I knew how to sell and build boxes, and that was great. And now I'm delivering a real-time 24/7 mission-critical service. And that's been a fundamental transformation for us. Obviously, Microsoft has had a massive cultural transformation, which you'll hear more about this week, but also from a fundamental product perspective, yeah, we still have servers and we still sell them and have responsibility for Windows Server, but Azure is a totally different thing in terms of how we deliver it and what your expectations of us are and how we went through that transformation is very much in this elk. But let me just make it a little more real. Couple stories. First around an idea of both ability to engage customers and employees in new and different ways, taking advantage of this cloud and mobile technology. And it's one of my favorite stories, which is Carlsberg, because I do like beer. And they are actually the fourth largest beer manufacturer on the planet, you may not know. And they have they've basically taken this issue where they have different research organizations around the globe, and researchers tend to work in their own silos, and they weren't collaborating. They weren't getting the insights from the research to put into market for customers. So they had two problems. One, they weren't getting these great minds working together in a collaborative way internally, and then they weren't getting the best ideas out to customers and having the innovation show up in product. And so they looked to cloud technology to help. So I'm actually going to roll the video versus explain it myself. So let's go ahead and roll that video.
Our founder, J.C. Jacobson, had a science-driven approach to making beer, so he decided to establish a research laboratory to make better beer.
Carlsberg used to be a fairly small company with a big brand, but over the last 20 years we've been buying breweries, and today we're the fourth largest brewer in the world. One of the challenges of bringing all these breweries together is we end up with a lot of very different IT. We needed everybody to start working together. In 2012, we started this journey changing how people collaborate in this business. That initial conversation we had with Microsoft evolved into a broader discussion.
For us, the digital transformation of the company has three pillars. The first pillar is the business to consumer. We are living in a new age. Our consumers are changing the way they want to interact with our brands in a multi-level environment. We need to address all those challenges. And then when they come to buy and consume our brands, they need to feel that they have the same kind of experience. We have already plenty of data, so we want the artificial intelligence that is behind making sense of the data. We are working on the connected bar to change the end user experience. We are creating a framework that enables startups to create apps. The second pillar is the business to customers. Consumers buy the beer from our customers. We have deployed e-commerce platform. One of our most important pillars is the business to employee and how we transform the interaction in the company to a much more digital world. We have focused in enabling a global collaboration with the cloud. In addition, we are bringing a next level of experience by using new channel and new devices. Everything in Carlsberg is about the experience that people has with the brands. There is a physical relationship between a consumer and a beer. The whole idea of this physical experience starts way before in the digital world.
If our founder was alive today, I think he would be fascinated by the possibilities we now have in improving the beer brewing process.
As an aside, their lead researcher, the last man out there, he has a PhD in yeast officially, but I call that beer. So he has a PhD in beer, which I think is maybe the best job ever. I was like, how do you get that? But a great example of how to think about both the transformation and the experience internally does ultimately translate to better customer experience as well. And I think that's a great story that showcases that possibility, because sometimes we think about them as different things. From a product perspective, again, I talked about Microsoft, but I think maybe my other favorite experience was working with Rolls-Royce, the airline engine manufacturer. And they actually called us in a moment a bit of a crisis when they were about to lose a major customer, an airline provider. And they were like, we're getting outmanned by the competition, and we're not innovating. We need to fundamentally transform what we're offering to our customers to stay competitive. So we jumped in and worked with them hand in hand and looked at and found that they had incredible information they could work with. They had great ideas. It's just about putting it together and fundamentally making it a digital experience. So what they've ultimately been able to do is go from selling engines to airlines, which was important, and doing some maintenance on that, to now they're a service provider of running engine hours. So you literally have a new business model and a new approach to be able to sell functioning engine hours. Fundamentally different from a product to a service provider. And just to show you some of the things that made this possible, we went in again, information they had, they just weren't tapping into in this kind of way. We built a global dashboard. They needed to be able to have a system they could turn into a service provider to know what engine's running at what way, what issues are happening, what means to be predictively maintained and proactively addressed so they can always keep that running. Obviously with airlines, safety and timeliness, super important. So if they're maintaining the engines, they have to make sure they have that. So a global view of all of the airplanes carrying their engines with alerting through IoT and other systems to be able to see what's happening. And there's alert on the top about a fuel pump way up there. So they're getting an alert and saying, hey, there's something going on with one engine, one fuel pump. And they literally, from this operator's global dashboard, can drill in and see that engine very specifically, not a theoretical engine, and not seeing a predictive view of maintenance, but an actual view of maintenance needed based on altitude, pilot, airline. All those data points give you an actual prediction or an actual view of usage and wear and tear versus a predicted one. And a simple thing, but there's these little kind of teeth-like charts on the bottom, these three ramps. That's engine washing. So if you don't know, I've learned a lot about engines, and it turns out to do an engine wash, to clean out the engine, it's $500,000 investment. You don't want to do that if you don't need to, and you want to do it only when it's necessary. But if you don't, if you do it too late, it starts really impacting fuel efficiency. And so you really want to find that perfect spot where you're not spending money too early or too late. And this now gives them a view, again, from a global dashboard to say we know exactly when the optimal point to wash that engine is. Millions and millions of dollars saved with one chart like that. And thinking about being a service provider, that matters a lot across a global system. But ultimately, we found as we get all these wonderful insights, this global dashboard of what's happening was fine, but you can't fundamentally change what you're doing unless you're connecting that down to your last mile frontline systems. So then taking that fuel pump fix that needed to happen, plugging that right into their field service system so that field agent on the ground in Luxembourg knows the plane's on the ground for 4 hours, the part's there, they can do it now, and it's the optimal time. And that goes down to the mobile device on that frontline system. And so having that connected experience from what are the insights to be able to run and transform your business down to how do you operationalize that, all via cloud technologies and mobile, of course. It's great. To me, a really fundamental experience of going from manufacturing to service, which I see again and again happening across different industries. And then the last one I'll share in terms of optimizing operations, and a little bit of a different one. In this case, it's Uber. And they had this interesting challenge of security, making sure that their drivers were actually who they were, so that before people were going out and picking up passengers, Uber had assurance that this driver is the verified driver that they've said they are, that the safety of the passenger can be managed, and based on background checks and the things that Uber does, they can ensure a safe experience for their passengers. Obviously, safety matters a lot. And so they came to us and said, we need to, how do we do this? They have a global application, global system, obviously. And in a very short period of time, they were able to tap into our cognitive APIs, our facial recognition. We have voice and facial and other things, but they literally just wrote to that API, added it to their mobile application, and were able to roll it out from a global perspective incredibly quickly. And this is one of the things, like the cloud certainly enables us to do lots of things that weren't possible before, but this to me is so fundamental. They didn't have to figure out the machine learning, they didn't have to bring in all the tests and all the capabilities to figure out what to create a facial recognition model. They didn't even have to spin up infrastructure. This is a platform level capability of Azure. They literally just wrote to that cognitive API and were able to pull that capability into their mobile app. So I'll actually show you the video so you can see how it works and what they did with their mobile app.
We come to work every day to pilot, test, and launch new technology solutions. Real-time ID check is the latest technology example where we at Uber are constantly developing and testing new solutions to predict, prevent, and reduce security risks in ways that weren't possible before. It's through this partnership with Microsoft that we've been able to develop this technology quickly and ensure that every rider and every driver has an excellent experience. Real-time ID check is a prompt that appears in the driver's app asking them to take a self photo. We can do a check in real time to make sure that that identity of the person who took the picture matches the account holder who's been approved to drive. Doing that serves a couple of purposes. Drivers know that their identities and their accounts are being protected, and riders know that the driver who they're with has been screened.
Jen?
Evan?
Yeah. Hi.
Real-time ID is a smart technology. What that means is it factors in and addresses the edge cases. The situation where the driver is wearing glasses or a hat and they weren't in the identification that we have on file. The beautiful thing is it can recognize these changes and ask the driver to remove their sunglasses or retake the photo. The partnership with Microsoft Cognitive Services allowed us to go from idea to execution to implementation across the country in a matter of months. Already, we've been able to make thousands of rides safer, and very soon we're going to be making millions of rides safer through this technology.
Again, I love the capability that we have. Again, that's such a, to me, pays off so well. What's possible with the new mobile capabilities and the cloud capabilities? And now thinking next, kind of you think about next generation of, you know, smartphones are really capable, all these IoT devices and tiny little devices, but yet they soon, and even in some places now, have compute power too. So much possibility in that area. So if you think about the digital transformation, obviously, we're reminding it, but fundamentally, so much of these things are possible because of cloud technologies. And so I wanted to spend a little bit of time in terms of what are we talk about cloud, you hear about cloud from lots of different people and vendors, just kind of our perspective on how we think about the cloud and the capabilities that we believe are super important as you think about your digital transformation. So certainly first talking about productivity, that employee experience, creating connected and engaging employee experiences, as well as that distributed network of employees that you're increasingly having, as well as all into your supply chain too. And then again, fundamentally pulling that together and thinking about business apps, core line of business experiences, and going from, you know, monolithic kind of structured systems that are always a little bit afraid to touch them and modify them to being more agile and just right size. Like that field service experience I showed you that Rolls-Royce had of just one componentry that can be configured and adjusted based on what your business needs. And as they adapt, the systems can also adapt. Into application innovation, which that's the core of what Azure is fundamentally about, and thinking about how do we create new experiences both internally and externally? How do we advance the company and think about moving into a services world if you're not already in that area? And then we talk about data. Data fundamentally, I think about, is the fuel of the digital transformation. And so many of these things, whether it be machine learning, artificial intelligence, is about that data and what we're doing with it. And I think about, even just 5, 6, 8 years ago, it was about data scarcity and who had data had power. And now it's about the insights that we get out of that and the algorithms and the learning models and the deep neural networks that we're capable because of the robustness of the data. So the value has really shifted in that front. And then fundamentally security management. And this, again, I think it used to be a blocker for people using cloud around security capabilities. And now I just saw a piece of research in December that said exactly half of technical decision makers believe the cloud is more secure, and exactly half believe it's less secure than their own data center. So I think we've hit the break point on that one officially. But thinking about how security management is infused across all of these cloud capabilities, and not in a bolt-on way, really infused in it, in the experiences you can have as just an embedded part of that experience. So security doesn't disrupt the people experience. It doesn't disrupt productivity or business processes, but it is inherently part of it. And at Microsoft, we have capabilities across all of these. Office 365, Dynamics 365, Azure, our core Microsoft AI capabilities, and then a robust set of security management technologies. Like, interesting stat, Microsoft actually spends $1 billion a year on security-related R&D, which, if you looked at it at an industry level, would make us maybe the largest security vendor on the planet. It's not how most people think about it or see us, but the investment is massive, both from internal, our research, as well as acquisitions that we're making on a pretty regular basis on the security front. So a lot of capabilities that we just bolster up our cloud and our end user experiences with. But ultimately, it's about bringing these together. And what I love about what we're doing around the Microsoft cloud is whether you're using parts or all or any componentry, doesn't matter. You have the same core promises around having a global infrastructure that you can tap into, a global cloud system, so you can work, reach employees anywhere, reach customers anywhere, reach and address policies and compliance requirements anywhere based on that global infrastructure that's fundamentally trusted. And it was about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago now, when we really were beginning this commercial cloud journey for Microsoft, and we said, we need to set a set of values in how we do this. We're doing the same thing now with AI, for example, but back then we said we need to have trust values, and that's around security, privacy, compliance, and transparency. And those four values, those four capabilities that you should be able to guarantee across all of our cloud services, you have those four promises of that. And we hear a lot about security, super important. Of course, the way we can do security is in a first-class way. But the other one is around privacy, increasingly becoming important. I think about things like GDPR for anyone who's doing business in Europe. It's very, very top of mind. And you know, one of my best examples of what we're willing to do at Microsoft around digital privacy is that we have actually sued our largest customer, the US government, on the topic of privacy more than once, but in a very significant case where they were looking for information out of our Dublin data centers, and we felt that was not right. That was beyond jurisdiction. And we fought that. We fought our largest customer, the US government, for almost 2 years on that case, and we won. And we established and gave ourselves the ability to hold those privacy boundaries that we value as well as we know our customers value. And we're going to continue to do things like that, and we have, so that everyone can be assured of what the privacy in their cloud experience is. And then last, but certainly not least, around hybrid. And people talk about hybrid and what that means. And we fundamentally know that organizations have come in all different shapes and sizes, and different organizations have different policies and just different tolerances. And so making sure that every organization can benefit from these cloud capabilities, whether they're using just a tiny bit or that you're all in, hybrid is the way to do that. By ensuring that consistent experience with the data center as well as with the cloud is fundamentally how we think about hybrid. And some other organizations and vendors will say, oh, hybrid's about putting a pipe, a big connection between your data center and the cloud, and we just suck stuff up. Or bring a big old truck to your data center, slurp it up, and send it to our cloud. That's hybrid. It's not hybrid. Hybrid is consistent security across the two, because that's a state you're going to be in for a while for most organizations. It's about tapping in and taking advantage of what works best in a very local experience and in a cloud experience, and not making it either or. And that's why we're so invested in hybrid, because that fundamentally allows every organization to take advantage of the cloud in the way that makes sense for them. And that is true across all of our cloud capabilities. Now, to the global one, it's hard to talk about and a little bit easier to show. So I thought we have a video that I'm gonna roll in a second that shows one of our data centers. We have over 100 across the globe. We have 38 data center regions, or regions we call them. It's more than twice the competition out there. So massive global footprint. And we made a strategic decision on how we do this to put more regions across the globe, because we believed it was important both to be close to customers and employees, but also for local data privacy and policies that we were able to meet because of that approach. But the sheer size is quite impressive as well. So I actually want to roll a video that shows the view of just one of our data centers and what that looks like. So let's go ahead and roll the video. And if you want to see one live, we do data center tours. They're pretty cool. If you want to get a chance to do that, I do encourage it. But to kind of bring it together, again, this our mission fundamentally is about empowering you. And how do we help you on your digital transformation? And so I encourage you again, as you're here this week, thinking about what that means for your organization. And they come in, again, different sizes and different shapes. And the technology that's underpinning it, we're here to help. That's our role. And that's how we want to work with you on that journey in your digital transformation. So thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your time here. Appreciate it.